All right. You're listening to the video game show?
I think we should have two versions, that, like the raw file that we post for podcasts. Like, we should just put the raw file for the podcast and then have a cut, arable version. Because I would love to have all the shenanigans, because I want to, like, chronicle all these shows.
Unfortunately, when you were talking earlier, you had the microphone, like, down here. What, that
yeah,
one?
Sometimes. Oh, when we, yeah. So don't worry. Yeah, I mean, I don't care.
Otherwise, definitely. Anyway, you're listening to the video game show on KMNR 89.7 FM, Rolla, Missouri.
We've lost a couple of members. Yeah.
But thanks to non-continuous editing, we're going to stitch this back together in a weird way. So they're going to reappear in a little bit. But anyway, right now we've got myself, Axon Jackson, along with my cohorts.
I was your trainee.
I am asking you to introduce yourself.
Oh, okay. I thought you couldn't remember my name. Dr. Trollinger.
And I'm Dr.
You went to 4chan, you too?
Oh, God. I'm DJ Coldsteel. All
right, and
none of us knows who we are, apparently. Yeah.
We're going to pick up the conversation we were having a little bit earlier.
Having an identity crisis right now.
We're going to pick up the conversation we were having a little bit earlier about MMOs, I guess. SWTOR.
Yeah.
Et cetera.
So, yeah, I think the problem with SWTOR right now is that it has a longevity issue. When I bought it, I was playing on my girlfriend's account, and like, this is fun. I was like, yeah, this is kind of enjoyable. You get to, you can do level 1 to 10 in a day. And level 1 to 10 is pretty much the prologue where it sets up your character story. You get to feel how your character plays. When you get to level 10, you go to the Republic fleet or the Empire fleet or the Imperial fleet. And then it starts, you start interacting with other people, or you can start.
Yeah.
Like, it starts emphasizing, like, hey, there's some heroic areas where it requires two more or strictly four people. So when I got to, like, we got to level 15 and we were starting to do some of the other stuff, I'm like, this is fun, but I honestly don't know how long this game can hold my attention, because I can already feel the stagnation coming in.
Yeah.
Like, I was wholeheartedly enjoying it, but I was like, if this is all this game's going to be, it's going to end up being just like WoW at the end. You know, you get to the end, you start doing your in-game content, your raids.
Yeah.
And then your PvP, and then I love the concept of PvP in SWTOR, but it's broken.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, that was going to be my next question. Do you actually enjoy Hutball? Because that is the most painful, awful experience of my life every single time.
Everyone that I talk to loves Hutball.
I don't understand that at all, because it's like ridiculously unbalanced.
Yeah.
In favor of like the Jedi skills, because they can push people around. And
yeah.
Like, agents and bounty hunters really don't have skills to move people around.
Yeah, or troopers.
Yeah.
They have every class in the game has an AoE knockback effect, but that's it. That's baseline. Jedi Knights can push people away. They can pull people into them. They can sprint. They can jump to people. It's ridiculous. Have you seen a Jedi Knight like in the basin underneath that first lip?
Yeah.
Jump to someone up top, and then someone pass them the ball, and then they just run it in. All right. Let's break it down for. I know Dr. Trollinger here is not in the know, but for listeners, Hutball is a PvP game type in Star Wars The Old Republic where two teams of eight people pretty much play rugby, where there's a ball, the neutral ball, and you go up there and you pick up the ball just by touching it, and then you fight for control of it, and then you have to move the ball across a line where each team spawns above this line, and then there's like a good 10 feet of just shelf. And then the line. And then you go over the line. And then whenever you score by moving the ball across the line, it respawns. Well, it's easy to just control people, because you can't run straight across. It's not a flat field. There's
it's kind of like I got two levels, and only the top level really connects over to the
There's
goal.
Actually three. Because there's the middle catwalk, and then there's an upper shelving of catwalking that have traps and stuff. Like, when you carrying the ball, you're slow, you have to run, you physically move slower, and then there's like flame traps and acid pools, and you have to navigate. The only way to get the ball across is to walk it, or you can throw it to people. So one of the easiest ways to do is just get a Jedi Knight on that shelf and then toss the ball to him and have him walk across the goal line, or, you know,
Well, maybe they're just trying to be realistic. I mean, if you're playing football against a Jedi, I'm pretty sure he'd kick your ass.
The game ends up being, like, really unbalanced.
Yeah, it's either a really great game and you're engaged and everyone's, you know, actively participating and it's fun, or it's really one-sided.
And I don't think they... If there is matchmaking, it's a really, really bad matchmaking system. And the game lasts 8 minutes, I think.
The time limit is 8 minutes, yeah.
And it's usually decided within, like, the first 2 minutes, and then you just kind of have to sit there and do these really shitty fights for 8 minutes, and it really
sucks. Well, that time's 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, there is a mercy rule, whoever gets to 6 points first, and you can either get crapped on really badly and end the game in 2 minutes after six scores, or it'll go on and on and on, and you'll play a full 8 minute match and someone will end the game like 6 or 5-0. It was just like the other day that I finally got, you know, mercy ruled and someone actually won 6-0 against my team.
That was like my second game. We lost on a mercy rule. I've won one game of Hutball out of like the 20 that I've played.
I don't know. I think all the PvP games, there's currently 3 in the game. I think they're all broken.
The door one, I think. There's one where you're like going on to this ancient ship that they find out in space, and both the Imperials and the Republic are trying to capture it. And so you have to like break through a series of doors, and each series there's 2 doors, so you have to defend both sides of this map.
It's an assault game type.
Yeah, it's assault, and that one's the most fun, I think.
Yeah.
Personally. But that's the one that you get to play the least.
Yeah, yeah.
The other one is this one where there's like 3 turrets and you have to capture the 3 turrets. And I hate that one too because there's no way to coordinate your team.
No, and I feel like that game in that game type, it lasts a good 4 or 5 minutes. And the first minute, the game is decided.
Yeah.
Once you get like, the whole idea is that you're capturing these turrets, so your turret will shoot on the enemy cruiser that's floating above the space. Like, you start in a hangar and then you ride a speeder bike down to the actual battlefield. So I play Republic.
Yeah.
And I always feel for some reason that the Empire people on my server can it just magically make the turret start shooting before any Republic turret can ever shoot.
Yeah.
So the game always starts like 280 to 300.
Yeah.
Before we actually can get a turret and start firing.
And the other thing that, like, happens a lot in that game is you'll, like, eventually get down to a point where you have one of the turrets and the other people have 2 of the turrets. And then you have, like, 4 people defending the turret that you already have. So then you only have 4 people to go out and try and capture the other 2. And inevitably, 2 of them go to the middle one and 2 of them go to the far one and they all get their butts kicked.
Yeah. It's
So it's only 4 versus 4?
It's 8 versus 8.
The max party size is 4, like I said earlier.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much 2 parties.
Okay.
So a team of 8 versus a team of 8.
So what exactly, I mean, you were saying that this is like maybe the most expensive game ever made. What is?
It's just like it holds the Guinness World Record of the most recorded dialogue for a video game ever.
Oh, okay.
So, and the areas are massive. Like, and that's another thing that really annoys me, actually, is that at certain tiers of levels, you get something that will improve your move speed. The first one, you get a sprint.
At 15.
At 15. And then at 25,
you get the first speeder bike.
You get your first speeder bike.
And then at 40, you get the upgraded speeder
bike. Which sounds great, because you're like, oh, now I can cross the map faster. But to make up for that, they make the maps bigger.
Yeah.
Every time you get a speedy increase, you can, like, actively gauge that the overall size of the world has gotten bigger, which makes the speed increases completely pointless.
Yeah. Do you play Republic or do you play Empire?
I only have the one Empire player.
All right. Empire and Republic kind of play the same. They go to the same plans, but they play different versions of the same planet for a couple of them. Some planets like Tatooine and Alderaan, they play on the same planet. So it's kind of hard to talk with him because he's an Empire player. I've never actually started Empire. So for a Republic player, you start on like either Tython or Ord Mantell, and then you go to Coruscant. And then you're doing all this stuff on Coruscant. And it's weird, because the way they break down planets is they break them down in districts, and you take taxis between districts. So you start on one hub where the spaceport is, and all the first quest giver is there, and then like you do your class quest setups. Like, you go get the quest from there. Like, you have a quest to come to this planet and talk to a dude, and then he gives you a quest to go do something in another area. So when you go to Coruscant or what's the Empire first starting planet?
It's not Dorman Kaas. It's Dorman Kaas is the second Empire planet.
Yeah, the second. All right, so you go to Dorman Kaas, and then you go to an area. You do your class quest there, and then there's some people just standing around needing you to do stuff in that area, and they're like, all right, I'll do that stuff. You get done with all that stuff, you come back to the spaceport staging area. You get a new class quest, and then you go to the second area, and then there's people standing there, you do all this stuff. You do that 3-4 times, and then it's like, all right, you've done everything on this planet. We're going to give you a class quest to go to a different planet and do something over there. But then they splinter it. It's like, all right, we're going to give you 2 class quests at the same time, but this planet is lower level. This planet is higher level, so it's your choice where you want to go. You still have to do both, but and then you go to Tyrus, and everyone in the on the Republic side hates Tyrus because it's 16 or 18, so you have your sprint thing, but it's so big, you're like, I wish I had my speeder.
Yeah.
But then you get your speeder, and then you go to Tatooine, and you're like, the speeder doesn't actually help because Tatooine's Dune Sea, go.
it almost ruins some of the like immersion and some of the suspension of disbelief in the game.
Yeah.
How big they make everything. Like, I know that the ships are huge, and so like they have to be able to construct huge ships, but the cities are just unrealistically massive.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't ever actually live in the city because like in Dorman Kaas, they've kind of got this like thing where it goes down into this deep channel, and there's a huge bridge across the top of it, but a normal person who wasn't running everywhere like in a video game could not possibly live in this place and not just have like the most massive thighs in the universe.
Yeah.
And going up and down hundreds of stairs every day.
I mean, you're familiar with the Star Wars films, right?
Yeah.
You remember in the prequel trilogy or whatever they call it, prequel trilogy, all the scenes when they're on Coruscant, like when Anakin gets off, stands up on that speeder and then just jumps,
yeah,
and lands on another speeder, and you like that's just that view of Coruscant. It's massive, and you got all these cars everywhere.
Yeah.
When you take taxis around, they have you merge into traffic and go halfway across the city and land on a taxi pad somewhere else.
Yeah.
They're building that massive scale of Coruscant.
Yeah.
And like you said, because one, you're just like, oh, I'm gonna hop on a taxi and I'll be over there in 5 minutes, but you're like, how do people live here? It's weird. I know. I understand what you're saying. I mean,
it's also kind of like a lot of them are really empty too.
Yeah.
Like Dorman Kaas is huge and empty. There's like,
yeah,
not that many NPCs.
Yeah, that's always driven me a little crazy. These giant, like the Elder Scrolls games are some of the worst offenders. I feel like, where like there's this giant, crazy, ridiculous world, and then just like empty towns or huge castles with no one in them.
It's two sides of the same coin. In Star Wars, massive cities, lots of buildings, no one there. When you play WoW, you go to a place like Goldshire that is literally 2 buildings, the inn and then the smithy house.
Yeah.
And Goldshire is supposed to be a thriving town.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With hundreds of people in there. And all you see are two houses and a traveling merchant's
stand. Yeah.
And then like there's a farm here and a farm over there. I mean, and then you go to Stormwind, and there's buildings everywhere, but they're all boarded up, and there's people walking around, and they give you the impression of life. But I think they're afraid of doing something like Ultima Online, where, you know, like everyone has their own house, but then you have, it's just, it builds and builds and builds.
Yeah.
I had an idea. I was pondering it one day. I was like, why don't developers, like if they had the idea to create content just on the fly, like as they build it, they patch it into the, like they made it, make sure it functioned.
Yeah.
And then they just patch it into the world, and then people can see the world just like grow. Like as we level up and the power creep happens, you just see worlds just like build that way, and like more people come in, and as the game gets more populous and all that stuff, the cities become bigger, and there's more stuff that you have to do. Like, you get the quests from the city to go somewhere out in the wilderness and come back.
That would actually make for a really interesting game, because I'm just kind of like visualizing how you could like start out at like kind of in those like in the science fiction books where like the central city is the only place that's safe, and then the rest of the world is like really nasty and scary.
Yeah.
Like, you start the game out in the central place where it's nice and safe, and then as the developer makes more content and as people level up, he starts adding things around the edges.
Yeah.
And it just gets bigger and further out until you're like out at the very edge, and it's really scary because you're like super epic levels.
Yeah. And like we were talking about like the how MMOs play, like I said, you can't break that formula.
You can't change that. Yeah.
You know, the 1-2-1-2, hit your buffs, cooldowns, and then like Guild Wars 2 is trying to break the holy trinity of tank, DPS, healer.
Yeah.
I think another thing that needs to be broken in MMOs is the concept of retiring content. Like WoW is the most obvious example. Level 60 content is never done anymore. Unless, you know, there are people who want to relive the old days and wear level 60 only stuff. No one does the Ruins of Ankaraj or the Molten Core.
Mm-hmm.
No one does anything from the Burning Crusade. No one does Magister's Terrace or the Sunwell. It's like, as you increase the level cap, all that old content just becomes obsolete and not, you know, like, it's still there for sentimental value.
Yeah.
I mean, my first MMO was Final Fantasy XI. I would like to say it was Phantasy Star Online, but that's not really an MMO.
Mm-hmm.
But I played Final Fantasy XI, and up until a year and a half ago, so the game is 8 years old now, 6.5 years of the game's life, the level cap was 75. Well, when it first came out, it was 50, and then or 60, and then they added an expansion to it, put it up to 75. And for like two expansions after that, they just added content at level 75, at max level. They just made things more difficult. Like, you had to get better gear from the previous expansions.
Yeah, yeah, that makes way more
like
sense.
Like, everything was still there. Like, it was still a challenge.
Yeah.
It's just you had to know your class better, you had to get a little bit better gear, and you do these stepping stones, and then you get to that content. I always liked that concept of just because something new came out, it doesn't make everything else obsolete.
Yeah. Because definitely anything in WoW, like,
yeah,
the expansion came out, you might as well just throw all of your gear away,
because
you're going to pick up, like,
yeah,
a green, you
that
know, cuffling
so
off of a
more
boar.
Yeah, you're wearing a purple that has plus 20 strength.
Yeah.
But as soon as you go to the new quest area, you might as well find something on the ground that has, like, 40 or 45 strength.
Yeah.
And
it's
then
really
you're like,
ridiculous.
Oh, I'll wear that. And then you get a class quest, like, reward from a class or from a quest that gives you 60 strength. So
power creep, man. Power creep.
It is. And Blizzard realizes that they have the worst power creep in the game. Because at level 60, before they redid all the stuff, before Cataclysm came out, when you were at level 60, you had roughly 3,000, 4,000 health. At the end of Burning Crusade, 10 levels left, like max level was 60.
Yeah.
You got to 70 at the end of Burning Crusade, you had 12,000 health. At the end of Wrath of Lich King, people were in the 40s to 30,000 health. And at the end of Cataclysm, five levels, the difference between Wrath and Cataclysm was five levels, you were at like a mil health. Or not even, no, not that. It was, I think it's 300,000.
A million?
It's not that bad. It's 300, it's between like 250 and 3,000, or 300,000 health. It's exponential growth, and they know that they're just like, we can't do anything about it now, guys. We've been playing this game for how long? Come on.
I really don't get the whole leveling in MMOs thing, because apparently when Sodor came out, within a week there were people who were level 50.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how someone could play a game that much.
They do it.
And it's kind of weird, Sodor, because you can, if you don't play for a while, you get a certain amount of double XP.
Yeah, the rested. Yeah.
And it doesn't take that, at least at the level that I'm at, which is about 21, and I haven't been playing all that much, it doesn't take that much off time to get double XP for an entire level.
Or an entire play session.
Yeah.
Like,
my play sessions are not enough to get a whole level most of the time.
Like a week or two when we were playing together, like I'd have enough to get through maybe 2 or 3 hours, because we'd sit down and play for maybe 4 or 5 hours in a session. I'd have enough to get through 3 hours. But now we like I've taken breaks. We unlocked our legacy names so she can play other people and not lose. Like, I don't know why she wanted explicitly to get, because I guess she didn't want to lose the experience. But now she can play other characters. So when we actually do play, I have like 2 levels worth of bested EXP, and I'm never going to be able to wear that off.
Yeah,
and it's just.
And like there's these spaceship missions, which are kind of these on rails space
point
shooter
and clip
things.
Games, yeah.
And those give you so much experience points, especially when you're in double experience points mode. Yeah. I mean, there was a period of like a week and a half where like all I did when I played the game was log in, play all of those, get like half, three quarters of a level, and then be like, well, I guess that's it for today.
Yeah, and the what makes it worse is that you can. That there's like, I don't know, like 10 or so dozen of these space missions, and one or like there's 4 or 5 different types, and then like there's a progressive, like this is the next tier that makes it harder and adds more objectives to it. But you can indefinitely, you can keep doing these missions over and over and over again. It costs you like 35 credits to do this mission, but you get so much in return. You can do them indefinitely. But, like, the reason he logs in once a day to do it is because they give you daily quests to go do these quests that you can do whenever you want.
Yeah.
And then those, on top of the EXP that you're earning, give you an additional bonus of EXP and money.
Yeah, I remember doing it in WoW. The dailies were a big thing that, like, once you hit the level cap, I was just logging in to do the dailies every day. And I actually just recently did a... I'm in public speaking, and I just did a speech over some that like pretty much this thing where, like, you know, it's pretty obviously MMOs are like using these really classic psychological manipulation techniques to get people to play them when it's not even fun at all. And, you know, that's kind of where they use the Skinner box concept of, like, basically, are you guys familiar with the Skinner box thing?
Might be.
Well, basically, B.F. Skinner was a psychological researcher, like bleeding edge back in his day, and he took a bunch of rats, he put them into boxes, and the boxes had little boxes in them with levers attached.
His point was he
wanted these rats, he wanted to train these rats to like push this lever for as long as he could. And so he would like reward the rats, like, oh, this rat, every time he pushes the lever, he gets a piece of food. And this rat, every time he pushes the lever 5 times, he gets a piece of food. And this rat, doesn't matter how much he pushes the lever, he's only going to get a piece of food every 1 minute. And he found that, like, absolutely the most effective way to do it was to give the rat a random reward. He called it, like, random ratio reward, where, like, well, sometimes the rat gets a piece of food after 3 times of pushing the lever, and sometimes the rat gets a piece of food after 10. And he combined that with, like, slowly over time making the rewards more and more infrequent, and until, like, the rat had to push the lever 50 times, you know, like, before he got a piece of food. And like when he did it this way, like eventually he cut the rats off of pushing the lever, and the rats that got a piece of food, and the rats that had like gotten a piece of food every time they pushed the lever, they just like pushed it a couple times and immediately was like, oh well, this obviously isn't working anymore, and then they went about their merry way. Whereas the rats that had been trained with the random and the frequency thing, they continued pushing the lever until they like just died of exhaustion. Like they were just like going crazy pushing this lever for the rest of their lives, literally.
Yeah.
And you know, how does all of our MMOs reward us for things, you know, with this variable ratio reward?
Woo!
Yeah. And it's like, well, it might happen, it might not, and they become more and more infrequent over time. And you know, like a lot of people would say, well, you know, that we probably don't have a problem with this, but a lot of people have a problem with, like, well, the game doesn't really have anything to reward you with. I mean, why wouldn't you go, like, do something in real life and that actually gives you a tangible reward instead? But, I mean, like, an in-game item is every bit as much of a reward as, like, an actual broadsword, you know? And in today's day and age, a digital broadsword is a hell of a lot more useful than an actual broadsword because it at least protects you from digital orcs or whatever, whereas
well,
a real broadsword, what's
I
it going to
do? One of the consequences of that is also the amount of social media integration that companies are putting into it. Like, I remember when Blizzard introduced their Facebook Armory app, where you can look at your Facebook friends and what their like their armory profile.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh yeah, I reached level 100. Post to Facebook.
Yeah.
Why? I'm not playing Farmville here. Let's go.
Yeah.
And it. Well, he put a segment in it, so. All
right. Well, all right. Well, let me say this then. I'm really considering canceling my Sworder subscription because I'm really. Like, I was never that big into the whole idea of the MMO, and I only got it because a couple of my friends were playing it, and I thought, hey,
it's all about the social pressure.
I was like, hey, it'd be fun to play this game with these people, and then, I don't actually play with them all that much, because I'm, don't have time, and they aren't playing at the same time I do, and it's 15 and...
When I bought my game, like, the actual copy and the license to play it, I was like... I feel comfortable giving this game 50 or 60, was it 60?
Yeah, it was 60.
60 worth of gameplay. I feel comfortable with it. It's like, I don't know if I want to subscribe, but I will feel comfortable. I feel like I will get enough out of this game for 60 tacos.
And then, like the month that you get?
Yeah, the free month that they give you for buying the license.
Yeah.
And then... The downfall is that to set up your account and get your free time, you have to give them your card. You have to.
Yeah.
It's so terrible.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I got my, I own the game. Let me play. No, you go through their web interface and it's like, you cannot proceed from this point until you give us your card.
Wow.
And set up an active subscription.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, fine, I'll do it. And then I like, in 3 days, I'll cancel it. And then I started to enjoy it. And then I was actually just charged my 15.
And now you're the rat.
Well, with I kind of hope that with SWTOR, I kind of hope that they did spend a lot of money on it and that it kind of bombs on them because I am sick and tired of everything being turned into these MMOs that I have to pay a monthly fee for and then the game never ever ends. I'm kind of the opposite of you.
Yeah.
As far as like you're wanting like these games that have like 60 and 80 hours of content, I would much rather. I'm okay with like you know the old school sprites and like you know the 2D levels and stuff, but give me a game that has like that is incredibly like very well put together and very well crafted and like you know has been you know play tested extensively so that it's not obnoxious, you know, in some way. And it only lasts like 4 or 5 hours, and I would take that any day over you know these hours upon hours upon hours of game, you know, just mundane
gameplay. Content. I will tell you, I'm.